Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, my brothers and sisters, praise God once again. It's good to be with each and every one of you, and as always, I give praise and thanksgiving for each one of you. We say this is your program. This is your gift of evangelization to continue to support In His Sign Catholic Radio. We're very blessed for the faithful people every single month. Send in a donation. You know, it's like when you're working and you have a job, you need to know how much is coming in before you can actually know how many bills you will have the money for to pay. And this is how it is with the ministry here. I do have some good news. We're going to have to change our intro. But willingly would do so because, you know, it's been very, very difficult. I have wonderful volunteers, complete volunteer staff. And as you know, I'm a volunteer. And as much as I don't take a paycheck or, you know, a stipend or anything out of the ministry. So what we're doing, things were really piling up and I had to make a decision. I can't do it all by myself. As far as administratively, keeping the radio station running, going out and doing what I need to do to keep support coming in for the radio apostolate. And I've asked Maureen Powers, who was my administrative assistant, that to come back. And we made arrangements, and she came back Monday for the first time. And for her, it was a sacrifice, too, because we didn't have the funds to, you know, pay what we paid her before. And but her heart is with the ministry, and she was willing to come back full-time, paid salary. And so we really only have one paid person here, and it is desperately needed as our administrator assistant. And she really is, you know, right hand here for me. So I praise and thank God for you know, the ability to have her back and do the things that she does so that I can continue to do the things that I do and our volunteers can do the things that they do. But all of us together, praise be to Almighty God. Hopefully we'll get the job done. And so I just want to say to all of you, I'm most grateful for your love, for your support. And if you know, you pray about it, and if God leads you to, maybe you'd consider giving whatever donation on a monthly basis so that we know exactly what we have to depend on. And I'm really hoping that that the funds will be there to keep Maureen with us. So I praise and thank God for your generosity, your love, your zeal for the kingdom of God, and your the beautiful way that you evangelize through the gifts that God has given you. And we're very, very grateful here. I want to thank all the sisters up at the Sisters of the Most Blessed Sacrament. I am most grateful for their love and their support. Believe it or not, they even send something in every month. And I mean, you wonder how they even feel led to do that, but they do. But more importantly, they pray and join each of you in prayer. And they pray for this Catholic Radio Apostolate. Right before the Blessed Sacrament, they've taken they're our prayer partner, too. So we're most grateful, my brothers and sisters, most grateful for all the ways that God truly does bless this beautiful gift of radio ministry. I'd like to say a prayer for all the souls of the faithfully departed, including a friend that had passed away. She was, you know, I was at her funeral mass today, and the viewing last night was a telltale of her life. I mean, she was a beautiful woman of God. She worked unceasingly for the kingdom of God. And, you know, Father sang her mass today. Father Tom Flanagan choked up a couple times because she did so much for the church. So he came to know her and love her. And it was a testament to all those that were there. You know, when I think about Mary's life, you know, this past year and a half, close to 2 years now, she fought a tremendous battle against pancreatic cancer. And while she was still able to, she even started programs in regards to people who suffer with pancreatic cancer. She did a lot working with the Archdiocese in regards to different sisters of charity, and just a wonderful woman. She was very active in the church, and you know, she used to run the Catholic Leadership Conference that had brought me in to speak many times, and came to the prayer group. She was a member of her own prayer group, and just a beautiful woman and mother and wife. And so for her soul and for the comfort of her family and all the souls of the faithful departed, may they rest in peace. I'm waiting for our guest to call in. I hope I am pronouncing his name right, but it'll be an interesting program. His name is Lodginson, and there was an article that was written. His name is Wayne Lodginson, and he is a journalist, and he wrote an article, Catholic Pro-Life, Pro-Marriage Groups Also Targeted by the IRS. Now, the IRS has since come out and sort of apologized for, you know, hitting these groups that felt that they were really, really scrutinized for their political beliefs and religious beliefs. And as you know, it caused a tremendous firestorm in the news. I mean, both sides of the paper were starting to cover that. And he's wrote this article, and again, it's called Catholic Pro-Life and Pro-Marriage Groups Also Targeted by the IRS. So, again, you know, the Federal Tax Agency already has apologized for singling out groups that had, let's say, Tea Party or Patriot links. And one Catholic writer tells of her own run-in with the tax man himself. So we're going to talk about that. You know, believe me when I say big government's too big right now. Government is in everything and every aspect of our lives. Right coming up now, as I'm talking today, we certainly know that they've passed new legislative laws and trying to push more where they can infringe on our privacy in ways that never before has taken place. And again, even though they apologize, you know, the Federal Tax Agency for scrutinizing and targeting these you know, patriots or tea parties or very conservative groups. They certainly have apologized because they had to. But also we find out now, in the midst of everything that's going on in our country, we find out now that even though they said they were not abusing their rights to be able to track phone calls and accounts and so forth of the citizens of the United States, we find out now that was not true, that for sure these things are taking place as well, and they certainly have been abused. Our caller has just called in, so let's put him on the line. And hi, Wayne, are you there?
I am.
Very good. Welcome to In His Sign Catholic Radio. It's good to have you here.
Well, thank you for having me.
We're going to talk a little bit about the article you wrote for the National Catholic Register. The Catholic pro-life, pro-marriage groups are targeted by IRS. Now, of course, we do know that, of course, they were caught with the hand in the cookie jar, but they have already apologized for sort of singling out those groups that were either Tea Party associated or patriots or very conservative groups. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today, if that's all right with you.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Why did you, what made you write this article? How were you moved? Obviously, you wanted to bring it out to the public. Got a lot of activity. But tell us, you know, a lot of people today, and I think that's one of the things that's maybe proven to be why we're in the shape we're in, because so many of our voters today really are not well informed, and so they take as gospel anything that the administration says or anything that the newspapers say, when in fact you've really brought it out very clearly. And in a beautiful way, just how different groups were targeted, and what does that mean to our country? But first, tell us why you. What stirred your heart, Wayne?
Well, you mean why did I look into this?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. When I heard that the IRS had been targeting conservative groups, particularly Tea Party groups, I thought about why would they do that? Well, they would do that, I drew the assumption, that they wanted to make it difficult for groups with philosophies and agendas contrary to the Obama administration's goals and philosophies. They wanted to make it difficult for those groups to raise money and to function as nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, who could they be more threatened by and more opposed to than a pro-life group? So I just had this. It seemed to me highly likely that there would be pro-life groups out there that were undergoing the same type of scrutiny, the same type of harassment and abuse. And I didn't have to turn very many stones, and there it was. Others were looking into it as well. The Thomas More Law Center in Chicago was a great resource. It was just below the surface.
Yeah.
It was nothing difficult. And sure enough, that was happening. And it continues happening. The fact that someone blew the whistle on this has done very little to change anything.
You know, it makes me wonder, these whistleblowers, you know, they risk their professional positions. They risk, in many cases, their own lives. They risk putting their own families and their own loved ones under scrutiny, and yet they believe so much that things have to be brought to the surface and nothing gets done. Why is that, Wayne?
Well, I think this is so entrenched in the culture of the IRS. First of all, a tax collector isn't someone who's going to be very friendly toward anyone with a conservative philosophy to begin with, because conservatives tend to be more inclined to ties to a church. They're not pro-tax generally. I mean, not to the extent that we're taxed today.
Right.
So there's already going to be sort of a bent against conservative organizations. then throw in the fact that you have the most liberal administration possibly in the history of the United States that is pro-abortion, and it is the president who appoints the people who run the IRS. So you have an entrenched culture of people there who think they're really doing righteous work. They're doing something good, something they believe in, by making life difficult for these organizations. So it takes more than an audit to show that they're doing this. It takes more than a little bit of critical press coverage, and it takes more than the president saying this is going to stop for it to in fact stop. That doesn't stop it, and right. it hasn't stopped. You know, some of these activities are criminal. And,
yes.
You know, it needs to be stopped that way. And people need to not give up on this. But I really think that the story has sort of come and gone, and people have gone, oh, well, that was outrageous. I don't think they understand the extent of what is going on and the grave ramifications for everything that this country stands for.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. You know, we recognize abuse of powers, if you will, Wayne, in Iran, in Egypt, in these countries all over the world. Where, you know, we've been known to shed our blood. Our soldiers, men and women alike, have, their bloods on so many foreign soils because we always are against abuse of power. And
right.
yet, really, wouldn't you call this abuse of power for sure? I mean, can you call it by anything less?
I can't. It's hard to come up with a greater form of abuse of power that has taken place in this country. I mean, obviously, we've had slavery in this country, and that is atrocious.
Terrible.
And I'm not comparing this to slavery.
Right,
okay,
absolutely.
Slavery would be far worse. But this is far worse than most, than any presidential scandal I can think of. This one strikes at the heart of freedom. The
yeah.
very first order of business in the United States Constitution is to protect religion and speech. And those are the two things that the IRS is going after with this abuse of pro-life groups. They are interfering in the prayer activities, as they call it. I spoke to one pro-life worker who said that they were asking whether he planned to pray from all sides. Pray from all sides. Apparently what that meant was that they thought he should pray for the abortion industry as well as for unborn children. And I spoke to a number of pro-life workers who said that the IRS told them that they needed to teach about abortion and the option of abortion and the availability of abortion. And think about that.
Yeah.
If the IRS can tell you how to pray and what you should advocate, do you really have freedom of religion? Do you really have freedom of speech? And there's no evidence that the IRS has ever told Planned Parenthood, which is a 501c3,
that's right.
All these groups were, that's all they were seeking to become. They're not telling Planned Parenthood to teach about caring pregnancy centers or to teach about adoption, you know, or alternatives to abortion. So it's really a very unfair, one-sided attack on one particular philosophy.
Yeah. I have read an article a short while back, another article that I read in the Register, which I think is a marvelous paper, and I know that EWTN now has purchased that. But one of the things I'd like to ask you about, is this fact or is this, I mean, it seems like it would have to be fiction, but to be written in the paper, I would have to say it's probably fact. And one of these pro-life groups that were targeted were told to come in, and they wound up having an audit. They were being audited. And that one of the IRS representatives, and this is what brought it to my mind, what you just said, one of the IRS representatives, and he was named in the article, said to this woman that she had her organization, they had to promise not to talk against Planned Parenthood. Now, who do they think they are that they can tell a pro-life group that they cannot say any derogatory statements? They wanted her to promise, actually, that they would not. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but I found it amazing that that...
I'm not familiar with the story of the of a group coming in for an audit, but I have heard that same exact thing from a number of pro-life volunteers whom I've spoken to.
You have?
That they have been instructed to not pray and demonstrate in front of Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
And to, you know, they've been questioned about what they have said about Planned Parenthood. You know, there's clearly an agenda on the part of the IRS to protect Planned Parenthood from pro-life volunteers, from people who, you know, whose ministry is to pray for and defend unborn children.
Hmm.
So I don't have any trouble believing that that took place at an audit. It's obviously one of the goals of the IRS is to try to stiff-arm pro-life advocates and bully them into not interfering with Planned Parenthood, which is clearly one of President Barack Obama's great allies in the world.
Yes, it is.
He likes them, and they like him.
Yeah. When you were talking about these pro-life groups that were targeted, again, it brought to mind reading different articles that on many of those cases where these groups were particularly pro-life groups were called in. They were really denied tax-exempt, I guess you would call it, a status, tax-exempt
right.
status. And again, it seems to be mainly because these people were pro-life groups, pro-life organizations, and they delved into all their material. They wanted all their records, paperwork, you know, board members, where they lived, their leases, contracts, and grant applications. I mean, I understand the power of the IRS, believe me. But there's such a thing as overstepping those boundaries. And what can we do about it? What can we do? I mean, I tell the people all the time, you have to be well-informed today. There's too much information out there. There's no excuse that we are not well-informed. And if the people really began to understand the truth of what's happening slowly but surely, like I said, we care about all these countries that we see these atrocities taking place. You know, we last night my family gathered for, we have a prayer and praise once a month, and my son and my daughter-in-law were making the comment that what was taking place, you know, where these churches were being burned, and in 1,600 years, it's the first time that a Catholic mass in this church wasn't able to say mass. 1,600 years. I mean, I never read it once in the paper.
Right.
What's wrong with this picture?
Well, that's, you know, what's really frightening about this whole thing. And it is the underwhelming amount of outrage. There was a little bit of outrage at first. The mainstream media, which is, you know, very friendly toward the Obama administration, did do some coverage of this. But really, the response, given the dangers of this type of activity and the ramifications of it, we just have not seen a cultural uprising against this, and we don't know the extent of it either, because in speaking with one Chicago attorney who's been helping these groups, he said, I know what's happened to my clients, but how many little groups, these are all very small organizations, how many of them just went away? They met this resistance, they just went away, they got scared, we'll never hear from them, we'll never know their stories. So and as far as the power it has over these groups. LifeRunner, a group out of Rapid City, South Dakota, there are almost 1,500 members. They run in races. you know, famous races, marathons,
yeah.
And smaller, shorter races, and they wear pro-life shirts when they run. This costs them potentially tens of thousands of dollars while the IRS harassed them and dragged their feet because they could not raise funds as a nonprofit. So donors don't trust, you know, they don't have the that trust that comes with 501c3 certification. They also don't get the tax write-off. So it's very difficult to raise funds, and that's effectively what the IRS has done. It has probably shut down a lot of startups because they just gave up, and it has most certainly, there's no question that it has managed to defund these organizations for as long as they can drag their feet. And those who actually get the 501c3 designation only get it after putting up a legal fight. They
yeah.
can win. They are on solid legal ground, and they do win these cases, but they have to have the time, the money, and the inclination to fight.
Yeah.
So that's what can happen, you know, from the perspective of those who are being abused. They can fight back. And there are legal foundations that will help them. But the culture needs to fight back.
Absolutely.
It needs not to be just the victims of this, but it needs to be the people who maybe even pro-abortion people, abortion rights advocates, ought to be concerned about this. Really, if they were good people who cared about their country and what it stands for, they would see that the dangers of allowing this kind of thing to go on. You know, if it happens, maybe it happens to someone, to people they don't care about, and they don't respect the cause, but it can happen to anyone, given a different administration. So I'm actually just really perplexed that there isn't more outrage.
Yeah, me too. We have a very pro-life, pro-family, pro-marriage base. We go out globally as well. This is going out globally as well as locally, the tri-state area, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and Maryland. Let me ask you this. As a tax-paying citizen, I mean, we talk about the silent majority. We're it. And yet we complain. We talk behind closed doors about it's a disgrace what's taking place in our country. We're irate, you know, those who are informed of what's really taking place. What can we do? What would you suggest to counteract some of these things that are taking place? I mean, we're not even going to know the United States of America 10 more years down the road. I mean, it's slipping away. Our freedoms are being taken away a little bit at a time. I mean, it's almost like the frog in the water, you know, it's being turned up. And that's happening to us. And
that's right. And the heat is pretty high at this point, because if you'd ever told me this would happen 10 years ago, I would have thought, never in a million years, not in this country.
Yeah.
That wouldn't happen. And but it's happened. And people are not seeing it for what it is.
Yeah.
What can we do? What can the few of us who really seem to get it,
What
can we do? There's not much we can do that we're not already doing. We can write letters to the editor. We can do radio shows. We can talk to our neighbors. We can pressure our members of Congress. And they must be pressured. This cannot be allowed to just, go into the past and be characterized as a phony scandal by President Obama. And everybody just believes that it's a phony scandal because he said so. And we've really kind of forgotten about it. The edge is off of it. We just can't let that happen. Now, will we succeed? I don't know. But we certainly need to keep reminding people that this happened and continues to happen, and that it's wrong, and it can't be tolerated. Mm. Beyond that, I don't know what you can do.
Yeah. We're going to take a little break. Would you be open to taking some telephone calls from our callers if you could stay
sure.
with us a little? Okay. Let me get out our phone numbers. Our phone number is 610-527 2906, 610-527-2906. That's our numbers locally. And you can call toll-free anywhere else in the United States by dialing 1-888-343-2484. 1-888-343-2484. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
We thank God for our one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church, where Jesus remains present to us until the end of the age, in word and in sacrament. Catholic Radio shares in the ministry of the Church to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth, and in his Sion Catholic Radio has been doing so for over 30 years. Kathleen McCarthy, and in his sign, has been empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring the fire of God's healing love to the world through Catholic radio and the Internet. With God's grace, his word goes out, healing hearts and transforming lives. In his sign, proclaims the culture of life loud and clear in a culture of death. The ministry's mission is to evangelize, catechize, and to be a voice for those who have no voice, proclaiming the truth that will set all people free. To our faithful family and friends who stand with us, thank you for being missionaries with us by supporting In His Sign Catholic Radio. Without your monthly support of prayer and financial giving, our mission would not be able to continue. Our mission voice would be silenced. To our new listeners, please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. All of the staff at In His Sign, even Kathleen McCarthy, the president, donates all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA, 19010, or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
Well, we're back again. I'd like to introduce to you our guest, Wayne. Let me see if I'm pronouncing this right. Is it Logeson?
Logeson,
okay.
Yeah.
And let me give a little bit on this segment about you. Wayne Logeson is an American columnist, a video producer, gun rights activist, editorial page editor of the Colorado Springs Gazette, which was procured in 2012 by Colorado billionaire Philip Anschutz. Logeson writes for the National Catholic Register, Faith and Family magazine, and he is a former editor of Soldier of Fortune and Boulder Weekly. You consider yourself a conservative libertarian, and we're blessed to have you with us on the air today. Welcome once again. This is our second segment of What the World Needs Now. And what the world needs now, my brothers and sisters, is more people to continue to fight that good fight so that this beautiful country of ours, the greatest country in this in the world, United States of America, can continue to be a country full of great freedoms. One of the things I wanted to bring up in this segment, I was reading your article, and I just want to talk about freedom of speech, or lack thereof, at certain times. And this is in the same vein we were talking about before. This happens to be something you covered in one of your articles on the Catholic Register. And it says, curbing freedom of speech. Sue Martinek told the Register she ran into similar problems with the IRS, which demanded that she and others involved with a pro-life organization pledged to never protest Planned Parenthood, the country's largest abortion business. Now, we spoke a little bit about that in the last segment. And they were, you know, she was outraged that an actual government official of the IRS came to them and told them that they could not speak about it. And yeah. She was outraged and then took it to a group to defend that. And they took it upon themselves to indeed protect the rights of this group of freedom of speech. I mean, even the person that took the case said that she was absolutely shocked and dumbstruck that a person from the government would make this kind of statement and try to stifle in any way, shape, or form freedom of speech. And again, there's another case that I think, I mean, it's mind-boggling in the United States of America that this is, it's not only disturbing, I mean, it's frightening when you really think about it. And the group, I think, was Thomas More Society, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And she said she was shocked at the request of the IRS that had made these kind of comments to her clients. I mean, it's just amazing to me that people don't know about this. We either have freedom of speech or we don't. Are we a totalitarian government? Or are we this wonderful government of the United States of America that gives everybody the freedom of speech and religion?
Right, yeah. I mean, when you start using the bully agency of the United States government, the collection agency, I think it's universally accepted that the IRS is the least regulated, most powerful collection agency in the United States. They can do horrible things to people, and they create a reputation of fear about themselves,
yeah,
so that people will pay their taxes. Now, when you use that agency to tell people what they can and cannot advocate, and where they can peaceably assemble, and how they can pray, going so far as to say, you know, as this one person told me, that he was told to pray from both sides,
yeah,
from all sides. Yeah, I mean, I don't see how anyone can see that as anything other than an attack on the First Amendment, on the very first freedom, the most important freedom. And, you know, survey after survey after survey has shown that freedom of speech and freedom of religion are the freedoms most dear to a majority of people in this country. So this is not about, okay, for you and I, it is about life, and it is about protecting unborn children from abortion butchers, and But for those who don't share our values on that, to view this as some sort of an abortion issue, they're really missing the point.
Absolutely.
They're absolutely missing the point. There's nothing more important to me than the defense of unborn children. But to engage in that defense of unborn children, I need freedom of speech.
Yeah.
And my value, my respect and valuing of the unborn is partially based in my religious philosophy. But anyone else with any cause of any sort, with anything that's important to them, anything they value, is in the same space. They need those First Amendment protections in order to lead their lives in any kind of meaningful way.
Yeah.
That's why this is a much bigger deal than pro-life versus pro-choice.
Yes.
The IRS. It's so much bigger than that. But I'm afraid that that's not understood.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, when you look... look at the president of the National Organization for Marriage, NOM, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Look what happened to him. I mean, he's filing a major lawsuit. I guess he's already filed it. But
right.
Wasn't
he's a
that...
He's a law professor, and he's fought
the
Supreme Court successfully. They messed with the wrong guy there.
Absolutely. But it just goes to show you, we have this great country... if we're not intimidated to use the great resources of this country, we're blessed in the United States of America to have a legal system that we can fight back. And before the laws are changed to prevent us from fighting back, we better take advantage of them. You know, let's talk a little bit about that, Wayne, about John Eastman. And again, I agree with you. They certainly messed with the wrong guy. It's amazing what they did there. They took the information off of his organization, if I
right.
have this right, and then they transferred that information over to the Human Rights Campaign, which absolutely they're lobbies for same-sex marriage. Is that correct? Do I have that right?
I think you have that almost exactly right.
Okay.
They turned someone at the IRS. Turned over information that's confidential, that is not to be shared with anyone.
Right.
And in doing so, committed a felony. And so Mr. Eastman is trying to make sure that a felony prosecution takes place. So he's been harmed not only civilly, but criminally.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. Totally amazing. And that's why we can't be complacent. That's why we can't say, oh, you know what? You can't fight the government. I've heard it said a million times. Well, yes, in this great country, you can fight the government. And you can do it by voting, being well-informed, you know, let your finger do the walking, if you will, in that voting booth. You can bring just lawsuits. When your liberties have been infringed upon, and we have to stand up and speak out. If we don't, we're going to wake up and say, "My gosh, what happened here in our country?"
Well, and there's a great saying. I don't recall who said it. I'm not sure it's even clear who said it. But all that is required for evil to flourish is for good men
to remain silent. Yep, absolutely.
And I've always thought that that old adage that you can't fight City Hall is a really stupid thing. It's not true. And if we believe that it is true, that's exactly what those who abuse government power want us to think.
That's right.
Of course you can fight City Hall. And I say City Hall, that's the way it's said, but that is speaking in terms of government. You can fight government. If government is abusing us and controlling us, it's because we're allowing it. It's because we are not exercising our rights, as Mr. Eastman is exercising his.
Yeah.
And a handful of these pro-life volunteers have exercised theirs by seeking legal counsel and defending their right to work as nonprofits and to not be taxed for donations that are given to them so that they can do their work.
You know, I might be mistaken. I think it is either Edward or Edmund Burke that made that statement. The only
Edmund
thing
Burke,
is...
Edmund Burke, I believe it's who said that, and I'm not sure that I got it verbatim.
You got it pretty good. It doesn't have to be cited, I don't think, but it's the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil It's for good men to do nothing. And, and we are the good men and the good women that are really doing nothing. And so we cannot continue to complain and moan and groan about what's taking place in our country. This is our country, for the people and by the people. It's our country. And we are certainly capable of standing up and making our voices heard. You know, they work for us. We forget that sometimes.
And in fact, they were established primarily to defend the very liberties that they're abusing. That's, our government was established to protect freedom of speech and freedom of religion and everything else that's in the Bill of Rights and the rest of the Constitution.
Yeah.
So, you know, the irony that they are now not only protecting those rights, but taking them on for their own selfish gain, it's beyond belief. But it is happening.
Well,
and yes, we have to stop it. We absolutely must stop it. People who go to church need to stop it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, one thing about Christians and Jews people that believe in a God who created this country, we are His handiwork, and we better be willing to not remain silent, if you will, so that this,
that's right.
You know, because there's, we're going to have to answer to somebody more important than the federal government.
And, well, I'm really glad you said that, because I think a lot of times as Catholics, and I think other Christians and people of other beliefs, think that God will just do for us that which is in our best interest. He can, and sometimes He does, but I believe that God uses process. And, you know, you spoke about how He expects us to do the footwork.
Yep.
And if you look at almost anything that God created, and that God does in this world, it's done through process. That is the way God chose to do it.
Yeah.
But we can't sit here. We need to pray about it, and we need to pray unceasingly about it, but we also need to act. And through our prayers, we will be given the guidance and the strength to act.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, Wayne, it's been great to have you on the program, and you know, oftentimes it's people like you, and I'm speaking again to Wayne Logreson, and you know, I pray that God will continue to bless the thoughts of your mind and the words that He places in your heart to come out through your pen, because we depend on people like you, Wayne, to continue to bring to the forefront oftentimes those things you will not read in the, you know, in the media. And so I ask the Lord that He might bless you abundantly for the work that you're doing, that you might continue to be a voice for those who have no voice, or even to be a voice, Wayne, for those who refuse to speak up. And great work.
Well, thank you, and thank you for all of your great work. And thanks for having me on the show. It's an honor.
Well, I'll tell you, you seem like a godly man. Would you like to close out the segment with a prayer for all of our listeners, that we might have ears to hear and a heart to receive?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to your people and bless them in these days of trial and tribulation. You never said it would be easy to follow you, and that is true. But please give us the strength, give us the courage and the wisdom to lead every day of our lives in defense of you, and to do your work in whatever it is that we do.
Yes.
Whether we are defending the unborn or writing about those who defend the unborn. And please bless our president and bless all people in all levels of government. and please help change the hearts and minds of those in the IRS and other branches of government who are not respecting the freedoms that you gave us and that you intend for us. And we thank you, Jesus, for all of these things. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful prayer. God bless you, and God bless the work that you do. Continue the good fight, brother.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bless you.
Bye. Well, my brothers and sisters, you know that quote that Wayne talked about, and it is something for all of us to think about. It's a quote that is, what shall I say, picturesque, if you will, in as much as it paints a whole picture of our country today. All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men and women do nothing. It's amazing today for me, you know, and again, that was Edmund Burke. Oh, pretty sure it's Edmund, not Edward. But Edmund Burke. Some called him an English philosopher, and other people, I remember, called him an Irish politician. However, his quote remains, all this time for us to take a look at and to remind ourselves that we must not be silent. We are here to literally fight the good fight. And today we are in a battleground and we are in a war zone. And let us be good disciples of the Lord. Let us be ever ready to defend our rights. Let us be ever ready to do due diligence, to become well-informed of our political candidates, to be well-versed in the Constitution. You know, get a good book about the Constitution and read it and learn about this great country of ours. You know, so very often, the very things that we love the most are the very things that we take for granted until they're not there anymore. And that's true whether it's a person in our lives that have loved us, just loved us forever, loved us in spite of ourselves, loved us in our weaknesses and our frailties, and continued to love us and support us. And sometimes we take that love for granted and oftentimes lash out at the very ones we love the most. Why? Because we can. It's a sad commentary for us, but it's the truth. Let's not be like that person that takes for granted the very things that are important in their lives. They're friends. Good, faithful friends. The scripture tells us that when we find a true friend, it is from God and it's a treasure. So whether it's a friend or a mate, a husband, a wife, maybe we found a good mentor. Maybe we found a pastime that we really love and just take for granted, never give it a second thought. There's so many things in our lives that we take for granted that are important to us. More than anything, how about our one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church? How about that we take for granted? Slowly but surely, we see churches closing. We see schools merging. And we complain. And yet we never stop to think that one of the reasons our schools are closing or merging, and so many churches are closing is because we, the people, you and I, have not followed the teachings of our church. You know, contraception came into being, and so we don't, you know, millions of people, young, millions of children are missing, because we've aborted them. Many children through contraception have never come into being. And so one of the reasons we don't have our schools populated is because of some of our own undoing. We fail to look at that. We fail to realize that, oh yes, there has been scandal in the church. But you know what? There's scandal in every organization. I tell you this, in the Catholic Church, even with all the scandal that we know about with the sexual abuse and all the other things that were going on, do you know there's really less abuse statistically? Much, much, much less abuse statistically than other big organizations. But we have it written all over every paper. It's talked about behind every door. My brothers and sisters, it is time for you and I who know the truth, who believe in the truth of what our church teaches. And if some priests, I don't care if they were bishops, I don't care if they're a regular priest, I don't care if it was the Pope, whoever it was, they fell away from what the church teaches. The ones that did the damage, the ones that caused the controversy, the ones that have wounded and lost the faith of so many people, they're not part of the church now. And so what they're trying to rectify the mistakes they made, but these were people, and believe me, a small minority of priests compared to all the priests in the world and even in our own archdiocese. A small number compared to other organizations. So I just want to say that before we go off the air today, because it's really on my heart. We have been given a magnificent gift of faith by Jesus Christ himself, who instituted the church. And we should stand firm in our faith and begin to dispel the darkness in the world with the truth that will bring light and dispel the darkness. My brothers and sisters, we are blessed. The greatest gift we have is Jesus Christ present in every tabernacle all over the world. We are blessed that Jesus Christ is presented on every altar, every single day, mind, body, soul, and divinity, he's there. He's really alive. He's present. And so I say to each of you today, be a voice for life. Be a voice for the Master, the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you're away from the church, come on home. We're not complete without you, and we miss you. And until we meet again, may God hold you close in the palm of his hand. Hold you close to his sacred heart, through the Immaculate Heart of his Holy Mother Mary. God bless you.